All right. Good morning, everybody. We are now on the record, and let the record show that it is 9 a.m. on June 2nd, 2015. We are present at the Commission Hearing Room on the 12th floor of the Capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota, for the informal conference in the matter of revision number one to permit NACC-1302. This is PSC case RC-14-846. My name is Wade Mann, and I am the administrative law judge designated to preside over this conference. At this time, I will take appearances for the record, beginning with Mr. Casey Voigt and Dakota Resource Council.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Your Honor. J.J. England representing Dakota Resource Council and Casey Voigt.
Okay. And Public Service Commission staff?
Casey Fury, Staff Attorney for the Public Service Commission. Yeah. And then also with me today is Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, General Counsel for the Commission, and Jim Deutsch. He is the Director of the Reclamation Division.
Okay. And Coyote Creek Mining Company?
Yes, Your Honor. My name is Brian Biela with the Crowley Fleck in Bismarck, North Dakota. Along with me is Don Steffen with Coyote Creek, and Joel Trinkle with Barr Engineering, and also Blaine Johnson with Crowley Fleck is also here today.
Okay. And is there anybody else present today who wishes to participate in any manner in this conference who's not already with the company or Mr. Voigt or Dakota Resource Council? Okay. Oh, go ahead, Mr. England.
I'll just add that Casey and Julie Voigt are both here, as well as Marie Hoff from Dakota Resource Council.
Okay. All right. And on December 17th, 2014, the Public Service Commission received the application for revision number one to surface coal mining permit NACC-1302 from Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, to add 352.105 acres to the permit for a primary haul road and coal handling facilities for its Coyote Creek mine south of Zap in Mercer County, North Dakota. Requests for an informal conference were submitted to the commission by Mr. Casey Voigt and Dakota Resource Council with concerns about air quality and fugitive dust emissions from the proposed mine facilities. This is an informal conference held in accordance with the provisions of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 38-14.1, particularly Sections 18 and 19. And again, I have been designated to preside over the conference and to issue recommended findings and a recommended ruling on the application. The commission will then issue the ultimate findings and ruling, subject to a potential request for a formal hearing pursuant to NDCC Section 38-14.1-30. The determination is to be made by the commission 30 days after the informal conference. And upon conclusion of this informal conference, I will be asking each of the parties involved to submit proposed recommendations, proposed findings, and a proposed recommendation to me. Mr. Voigt and the Dakota Resource Council have requested the informal conference and will be given the opportunity to present their information first. I'll then call on commission staff to offer any testimony, comments, or documents, followed by Coyote Creek Mining Company. This is an informal conference, so we will not be having sworn testimony. Any of the persons offering testimony can do so in narrative form if they wish to do so. They will be subject to questions from all of the parties. Upon conclusion of Coyote Creek Mining's case, if there is additional follow-up that is requested by any of the parties, we can address that at that point and go from there. No decision will be reached on the matter today. These proceedings are being recorded, will be available for later review. And again, after conclusion of the hearing, I will issue recommended findings and a recommended ruling on the application. Any questions with respect to procedures or in any preliminary matters before we get started with the conference? Mr. England?
No questions, Your Honor.
Okay. Ms. Fury?
Just incorporating all the documents in this case on record at the commission into this proceeding.
So, okay. So all docketed items in RC 14846, or just with respect to the revision?
With respect to the revision.
Will be included as part of the record and
yes,
will be available for review in making the recommended findings and recommended ruling. Okay. Mr. Biella?
Yes, Your Honor. With respect to the proposed findings that you're going to ask both parties to submit, I'm wondering if you have a date certain for that. In particular, we would request an expeditious action on this as we are in the summer construction season for the mine. And part of this haul road that's part of this revision is imperative for construction. So we would ask that things be expedited, and including a date, you know, quite soon for the proposed findings.
Did you have a date in mind, length of time, or a specific date?
I would think by early next week, Monday, Tuesday of next week. At the last.
What date?
I have my calendar here.
Okay.
Ninth would be Tuesday.
Mr. England, what do you think with respect to that time frame?
I think a week from today is fine, so next Tuesday, June 9th.
Okay. Ms. Fury, are you intending to submit anything with respect to proposed findings or proposed recommendation?
At this point, staff is uncertain, but we don't anticipate.
Sure. I guess we'll leave that opportunity available to you if you wish to do so. and if you do wish to do so, would June 9th, would that be a sufficient amount of time to get something submitted?
That would work fine, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. We'll take the proposed findings from Mr. England, Mr. Biella, and Ms. Fury, if she does end up submitting them by June 9th, then I will issue my recommended findings and recommended ruling to the commission, I guess, as soon as I can after that. I have to look at my schedule. I can't guarantee a date that I will get that to them at that point. And then, you know, bear in mind that the commission is the ultimate decision maker on this, so you will be subject to their schedule and their ability to make the final ruling on that as well. So, anything else, Mr. Biella?
Not procedurally, no, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. England, are you ready to get started?
Yes, Your Honor, I am.
Okay. And it's you're just intending to offer some commentary? You don't have any documents or anything at this point?
No additional documents. Some of the areas of law that we're discussing are admittedly somewhat complicated. And so to the extent that you have questions, I'd also be very open to answering any questions. But no, my plan was just to basically speak further on the comments that we've already filed.
Sure. You can go ahead when you're ready.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. So the reason that we're here this morning is because my clients are quite concerned about the fugitive dust emissions and air quality emissions that will be essentially produced by Coyote Creek Mine after construction is completed, once the mine is fully up and operational. Even though revision 1 to this mining permit is a fairly small area relative to the rest of the mine, this particular portion of the mine is it involves a number of components that have air quality impacts that are are quite large, and that includes the three basic parts. One is the coal haul road. Another is the 8-acre open coal pile, which will be located near the power plant itself. And the third component is the coal processing plant, which appears to be enclosed but is nonetheless likely also a potential source of emissions. There are a number of air quality rules and laws that apply to Coyote Creek Mine as a major western mine under SMCRA, and under Section 3.1.1.2 of the mine's permit, few if any of those laws are currently being followed, let alone in a way that's clear and enforceable. So that's sort of the basis for my client's concerns and why we're at this hearing this morning. We can go into specifics and in some more detail on what we think the problems are with the permit application as currently written, and that'll basically further flesh out the comments that we've already filed. So to begin, the Code of Federal Regulations, in particular, provides, and that's 30 CFR 780.15, Section A, basically provides two complementary requirements. The first is to submit a fugitive dust air control plan that is essentially sufficient, I'm paraphrasing here, but sufficient to ensure that fugitive dust is controlled. And the second portion is a monitoring plan to ensure that the fugitive dust plan's goals are being met. As it stands right now, the Coyote Creek's application, it has a fugitive dust plan, although it's not clear if it's the plan that's required by the CFR. It appears to be rather a plan required by Department of Health regulations for fugitive dust, which is important but separate, and it actually would apply to the Clean Air Act permit as opposed to the mining permit. So it's unclear. So there is a fugitive dust plan in the permit itself, but it's not clear if it's the correct plan. That's the first issue. The second issue is that, as written, the permit application's fugitive dust control plan is extremely vague, and it's nearly impossible, based upon our reading, to have a good understanding of when certain control activities, such as spraying water, compaction, using dust suppressants, and so forth, will be used. And so one question that my clients have in particular is, essentially, at what point will these control methods be used, and how will they be used, and to what extent will they be used? The permit application, on our reading, does nothing to answer those questions, and at best, it simply says that certain methods will be used. So those are the first two issues, and they both go to the fugitive dust control plan. The third issue, as I mentioned, is there is a federal requirement for a monitoring plan, and what we did is we compiled the entire permit into one searchable document and looked for anything having to do with air quality and monitoring in the same paragraph, and we were unable to find anything. So it's our belief that it certainly doesn't exist in Section 3.1.1.2 of the permit application, but it's our belief that there is no air quality monitoring plan in this permit. Now, one question that is likely to come up, and I'll just address it right now, is why we're citing to the CFR as opposed to state law. In some cases, we are citing to state law, and there are definitely air quality requirements there as well. But in this case, it appears that these two interlocking air quality rules from the CFRs for an air quality plan and air quality monitors were not adopted into North Dakota's mining program, which adds a wrinkle, certainly. But the CFR and the SMACRA statute itself, as well as Supreme Court authority from the state of West Virginia, all basically say the same thing, that federal law, in this situation where the Federal Office of Surface Mining adopted North Dakota's program and essentially made a mistake by approving a program that appears to be less stringent than the federal program, that in that situation the federal law essentially trumps and comes into play. So I can provide a cite to the West Virginia case, which has cites to the CFR and the statute that I'm referring to. And that case is called Canestaro versus Farber, F-A-E-R-B-E-R. And the site is 179 West Virginia, 793.
What, 179 West Virginia, 793, is it in any of the other reporters? Is that the only site for that?
Yes, Your Honor, I have a regional site also. The regional, it's in the Southeast Regional Reporter, 374 Southeast 2nd, 319.
374 Southeast 2nd, 319?
Yes, Your Honor.
What year is that?
That's 1988.
Okay, thank you.
And so that's sort of the first section of the comments that we filed. And before I switch gears to the next issue, which is essentially our belief that there are certain statements in this mining permit that explain how the mine will not comply with the Clean Air Act, as opposed to how it will comply with the Clean Air Act as required by SMACRA. I'll just pause to make sure that there aren't any additional questions on that first issue. Okay, move on to the second issue then. The second issue, as I essentially just said, is that there is both a federal and state law requirement that any mining permit application has to explain how the mine itself will comply with the Clean Air Act, that's the federal wording in the CFR, and with air quality laws of the State Department of Health, and that's the wording of the state law. But either way, the gist is exactly the same, that this mining permit is required under SMACRA to explain how it will comply with the Clean Air Act. One issue that we're particularly concerned about and that we raised in our comments is that rather than explaining, I guess I should actually back up for a moment. So basically, one of the important requirements of the Clean Air Act is called the New Source Performance Standards. It's a key portion of the Clean Air Act, and it's one of the primary federal laws that applies to this mine. In particular, I'll just use the word NSPS for New Source Performance Standards for short. But in particular, NSPS subpart Y is the federal law that applies to Coyote Creek Mine. And so it's particularly important here. And I'll just, I think it's important enough that I'll actually go back and highlight a statement made in the mining permit. And that is that the open storage pile, that being the open coal storage pile at Coyote Creek Mine, is not a regulated emission source or fugitive emission source subject to the Fugitive Dust Control Plan requirement of New Source Performance Standard Subpart Y. I'm assuming that the mining company will talk about this in some more detail. It sounds like they have somebody here specifically to speak to that. So I'll try not to spend too much time on this, and perhaps I can spend more on follow-up. But based on our reading of this, at least at this point, and what's in the application itself, it appears that Coyote Creek Mines' position is that the new service performance standards do not apply to the open coal storage pile. There's been some back and forth over the last few decades on NSPS subpart Y, and the wording has changed. I have a hunch that it's possible that this language, that the coal pile is not covered by NSPS subpart Y, stems from some older version of the code or from some older version of EPA guidance. Either way, the current law plainly reads that NSPS subpart Y applies to, and I'm quoting, coal storage systems, transfer and loading systems, and open storage piles. And then the CFR goes on to define open storage piles. And that is in 40 CFR 60.250D. The site again is 40 CFR 60.240D, and those sites are in the comments that we filed as well. So those are the basic legal issues that we're concerned with today. We also spoke a little bit about some of, just sort of to paint a picture of some of the factual reasons why these issues are real issues for people living in the area, why people are concerned, and basically just sort of to paint a picture of why we're here. It's probably relatively common knowledge that a source of particulate emissions as large as a coal mine is very likely to have adverse impacts on human health. In addition, and perhaps even more importantly in this particular instance, it also has an impact on livestock health and plant productivity. And again, we cited to a recent study from the University of North Dakota that was focused on basically on dust emissions from in the oil patch, trying to determine impacts, I believe, on vegetation growth. And there's also some reference in that study to on impacts to livestock health. But that study clearly shows that dust emissions from roads in particular do have important and lasting impacts on all of these issues. And so we just added that section basically, and I wanted to point that out to really explain why we're here. So again, I'll pause there if there are any questions. I know it's a little bit of a complicated area of law in that we're looking at compliance with the Clean Air Act, even though we're in a SMACR proceeding. But they're essentially bound up together, and so I just want to make sure that I make that clear.
You can go ahead. I think I'll just wait till you're completely done and then, okay. And then let anybody question. So.
No, Your Honor, I have nothing further right now. I might have some follow-up after the other witnesses have had a chance to speak.
Sure. Ms. Fury, do you have any questions for Mr. England?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Deutsch, did you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, anything? Okay. Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Any of the Coyote Creek parties have any questions? Or are you going to be...
No, not at this point.
Yeah. Okay. All right. At this point, I think we can move on to the commission staff. Ms. Fury, you can go ahead if you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. The purpose of staff's comments are really to provide the basis for staff's conclusions regarding the numerous points that were addressed by the DRC and Casey Voigt in their comments and requests for informal conference, which was dated May 9th. So I will generally summarize the three main areas staff would like to comment on, and then after that time, Mr. Deutsch will expand on the various issues I've addressed. The first kind of comment that staff would like to make is that the Commission's reclamation program is approved by OSM, and so the Commission enforces state rules and laws, not federal rules and laws. Second, there are air quality standards that apply to the proposed revision number one permit, NACC 1302, and these are under the PSC's mining and reclamation rules and laws. And Mr. Deutsch will go into further detail about those. But staff contends that any additional air quality standards applying to this permit are really outside the scope of the PSC's jurisdiction. And last, we will be addressing some of the federal regulations that were just previously mentioned and why the Commission does not have corresponding state rules regarding those federal regulations. Specifically, the DRC and Mr. Voigt's comments and requests for hearing state that 30 CFR 816.95 requires an air quality plan and monitoring program in order for the applicant to provide a sufficient data for the Commission to evaluate the effectiveness of fugitive dust control practices. So the DRC and Mr. Voigt further request the PSC to incorporate a number of considerations into the evaluation of a fugitive dust control plan, and these are located on page 2 of the DRC's comments. However, looking at Federal Regulation 816.95, there is no mention of a fugitive dust control plan or a monitoring program in this section. Section 514B4 of SMACRA is the statutory authority which that section 816.95. And OSM has stated in its final rulemaking that 816.95 is limited to the control of erosion and air pollution resulting from erosion-related sources, and that this section will no longer regulate fugitive dust control practices. So this section that grants authority, section 514B4, that's granting the authority to section 816.95, which the DRC and the Voigts are claiming require an air quality plan and monitoring program, is not intended to regulate air quality in general or establish air quality goals. This information is located in 49 FR 1160.01, and that's dated January 10th, 1983. This is OSM's final rules. I have a copy of that that Commission staff would like to submit, if that would be helpful.
Yes. Do you have them marked for identification, and do you have copies for Mr. England, Mr. Biella?
PSC number one, or
yeah, PSC one would be good.
Thank you.
That's not. This is something that's not already in the record, right? I mean, as
no, it's not, Your Honor.
Incorporated. Okay, good.
And so this is just the OSM, their final rulemaking.
Get one of your stickers too.
Here, I'll pass them along to you. Thanks. I don't have any extra copies. I'm sorry.
You need us to wait, or are you okay?
Yeah, Well, this will just take a second. Anybody else want copies while we're at it?
You can continue.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. The removal of the performance standards for fugitive dust control practices and air quality monitoring has thus rendered the corresponding federal permitting regulations at 30 CFR 780 15 meaningless because there's a cross-reference from 780.15 to 816.95. And at this point, I would ask that Mr. Deutsch provide additional information regarding his communications with OSM regarding this matter. And before he begins, I would like to submit a memo that was received by OSM staff to Mr. Deutsch regarding this issue, and then a corresponding memo that Mr. Deutsch wrote to myself explaining the background of the memo.
So we've got two separate?
Yes, Your Honor. I marked the first one is Mr. Deutsch's memo to myself. That's marked PSC document one, which will be, I guess, PSC exhibit two. And then the second part that's titled History of Air Quality Regulations will be marked PSC Exhibit 3.
Do you already have those pre-marked? You already have those pre-marked as?
They're pre-marked, but this is pre-marked as Document 1.
Well, let's just. Does anybody object to just making the rules
Exhibit 3? No objection, Your Honor. That would be fine.
Mr. Biella, Mr. England. Okay, let's just make the rules document that we'd previously marked as PSCs 1. Let's make that 3 then.
Okay. Would you mind, Your Honor, just passing those around, please?
JJ have one. The dates or
something. I'm sorry.
It's like memo from A to B and a date.
Do you want me to state that for the record?
The PSC document number one is a memo from Casey Fury to Jim Deutsch.
Your Honor, it's just the reverse of that. It's from.
My mistake. It's from Jim Deutsch, Director of the Reclamation Division, to Casey Fury, and it's dated May 29th, 2015, and the subject is the status of OSM's regulation under 30 CFR, Section 780.15, Subpart A. So that's what is identified as PSC document number one.
And then the attached document two is. Is behind it.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Fury, if you can explain, just give me a summary of what is contained in PSC's document number two.
Yes, Your Honor. The second document is a memo from Mr. Dennis Rice, who is a regulatory analyst at OSM headquarters. He sent this via email to Mr. Deutsch explaining the history and current status of the various federal regulations that have been discussed today. And Mr. Deutsch, do you have a date on that by any chance with you? If not, right now, we can provide that information and follow up with the actual email itself that shows the attachment, if you'd like, Your Honor.
Yeah. Offhand, I don't recall the date I received the email. I think it was like a week ago Friday, but I'd have to go back and check that. Actually, it was... he sent it on Thursday, May 21st.
Who is this from, Mr. Deutsch?
It's from Dennis Rice. He's a regulatory analyst with OSM at their headquarters in Washington, D.C. And just to provide further background on this, that upon receiving the request for informal conference from DRC and the reference that was in there to 30 CFR 780.15A, I went back to the federal rules and read that, and seeing it's a lot different than what we have in our rules for permit applications with regard to air pollution control plans. The PSC rules is very brief, and I'll read that for the benefit of everybody here. That's North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6905.2-09-05, Permit Applications, Operations Plan, Air Pollution Control Plan. And it says, the permit applicant shall specify the measures to comply with the air pollution control requirements of the State Department of Health and any other measures necessary to effectively control wind erosion and attendant air pollution. And that's the extent of the permit application requirements in PSC rules. And as Mr. England indicated, that the federal rules under 780.15 are quite a bit different, and in fact it requires, as he said, the more detailed air pollution control plans and monitoring plans for mines that produce more than 1 million tons a year. Upon seeing that, I did some research, and in fact, going back to our initial program when it was approved in 1980, and we did not have that counterpart federal provisions in our rules. And reading through the Federal Register notice that approved our program, there was reference to one of the court decisions that was rendered back in 1980 that remanded some of the rules to that OSM had promulgated, and it included the air pollution control standards, performance standards that were in OSM rules, but it didn't, as it turned out, it did not address this permitting requirement. So that what essence we had was that the one part of the rules were basically were found beyond the smoke of the federal act that was passed, but since the court didn't specifically address this 780.15, that those rules have been left in place, and it's something that OSM probably should have taken care of, and that gets into the history that's discussed in the one exhibit that came from Mr. Rice with OSM, but it is a case where the federal court found that the OSM's authority for dealing with air quality is rather limited, and it's it's limited only to regulate air pollution related to erosion and not the requirements of the Clean Air Act. In fact, anything under the Clean Air Act, the State Health Department regulates that for the state of North Dakota. And I think that same case is, probably exists in many other states as well, where the state agency that is what called the SMACRA regulatory authority does not deal with the detailed air pollution control plans. So, and like I said, that explains why the state rules are quite a bit different than federal. But in the document that I received from Mr. Rice, it indicates that that apparently OSM at one time had planned to change their rules and update that, but it hasn't happened. And in their summary, it's as Casey indicated that they basically consider that those requirements of 30 CFR 780.15 as being meaningless at this time. So I guess the reason for bringing this up is that we are responsible for seeing that the requirements of our law and rules are met, and not the federal law. So the standard that applies for this application is the requirements of North Dakota Administrative Code 6905.20905, which does not require any detailed fugitive dust control plan, nor does it require any air monitoring plans. Those details are left to the jurisdiction of the State Health Department.
Anything further?
I just have one follow-up question, Your Honor.
Sure.
You had mentioned the North Dakota Administrative Code 6905.20905, and you had read that to us prior, stating that this rule requires the applicant to specify measures to comply with the air pollution control requirements of the State Department of Health and any other measures necessary to effectively control wind erosion and attendant air pollution. Can you please explain what information staff is looking for in an application in order to deem the applicant in compliance with this rule? So would this be an air permit from the health department, or could you just kind of elaborate to that further?
With that, one of the requirements that the companies have to list is other permits that are required, and they do list the air quality permit that they have received from the state health department. Then they also, there's in all the permits, there is a general discussion of measures that will be used to control some of the wind erosion. I guess particularly generally look at things in a general manner, because the requirements are pretty general, but typically concerned with dust from haul roads, and probably more concerned with plans to control large areas that are disturbed by mining when topsoil is removed, where there's overburden areas, where there can be areas prone to wind erosion, where you get sediment, wind-blown sediment, leaving that disturbed area and sometimes undisturbed or possibly off the permit area. So those are the types of things that we are primarily concerned with.
And then if those are present in the permit application, staff would either, if those, I guess I should reword that. So depending on whether or not those are present in the application, staff would either find that the that the applicant is adhering to or violating that particular rule.
Well, with regard to the application, I guess we look to see that there's plans to address those requirements as well as address their plans to comply with Health Department regulations. And, you know, that be included in the application. Then if there's actual problems in the field with regard to performance standards, then that becomes an enforcement issue later on, but not with the application itself.
Thank you. That's all, Your Honor.
Mr. Englund, do you have any questions for Mr. Deutsch?
No, not at this time, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Ms. Fury, do you have anything further on behalf of commission staff?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Biella, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Go ahead.
We might need another mic there, maybe.
Yeah, we can take that one.
Your Honor, we're going to have two witnesses, but before I do that, I'd just like to make a short statement.
Yep, go ahead.
As we are aware, the Dakota Resource Council has submitted a letter today or prior to this, requesting this informal conference. But because the Dakota Resource Council obviously is not a landowner in the area, this raises the issue of standing. I note that the Dakota Resource Council did not discuss standing in its letter. But there's a very recent North Dakota Supreme Court case entitled Dakota Resource Council versus Stark County Board of County Commissioners. And the site to that is 817 Northwest 2nd, 373. And pursuant to that case, for the Dakota that was a coal mining case similar to this one, the court said that the Dakota Resource Council must establish associational standing. That's a term used in the court case. That is, it needs to have demonstrated that it has members that are directly affected. It did not do so in its letter. And, of course, the time frame for requesting informal conference has now passed. As it has not, certainly the Dakota Resource Council was aware of this case because it was the prime party to that case. It was aware that it needed to establish associational standing in order to have standing in this informal conference as a party which is or may be adversely affected. They have not done so, and as a result, we submit the DRC does not have standing in this proceeding. At this time, Your Honor, then I'd like to proceed to our first witness.
Go ahead.
We have Don Steffen. And Don, would you please state your name and business address?
Don Steffen, 6502 17th Street Southwest, Zap, North Dakota, 58545.
And Don, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
Cow Creek Mining Company. I'm the engineering environmental manager at the Cow Creek Mine.
And what are your duties at the Cow Creek Mining Company?
I'm responsible for obtaining the required permits and making sure operations operate in accordance with all permits.
And showing you what has been marked as Cow Creek Exhibit 1, would you please identify it?
It is a DVD containing Revision 1 to Permit NACC 1302.
And can you explain the purpose of Revision 1 to the permit?
Yes. Revision 1 adds 352 acres to Permit NACC 1302 to facilitate construction of approximately 4 miles of haul road from the mine area to the Cow Creek Power Station, and it also allows for construction of the coal processing facility. The coal processing facility consists of an open unprocessed coal stockpile, a feeder breaker, secondary sizer, and a conveyor to Coyote Power Station.
Your Honor, we would offer Exhibit 1.
Okay. CC Exhibit 1 will be considered.
Thank you. And does Mr. Voigt or his wife, Julie Voigt, own any lands within the area added by Revision 1?
No.
And does Revision 1 to the permit address dust control?
Yes, it does.
And showing you it was marked as Coyote Creek Exhibit 2, would you please identify it?
It's Coyote Creek Mines Fugitive Dust Control Plan proposed in Section 3.1.1.2 of Revision 1 to NACC 1302. The Fugitive Dust Control Plan proposed in Revision 1 is the same Fugitive Dust Control Plan required by our air permit to construct issued by the North Dakota Department of Health.
And what measures are addressed to control dust on the haul road?
Our primary means to control dust from the haul roads will be periodic watering. The haul roads will also be constructed with aggregate surfacing, which will result in less dust, and dust suppression chemicals may also be used.
And what measures are addressed to control emissions at the coal processing facility?
Dust emissions at the coal processing facility will be mitigated by use of passive enclosed containment system, which includes enclosed chutes, skirt boards, belt seals, hoods, and curtains.
And what measures are added to control dust at the coal stockpile?
Compaction will be our main method to control dust from the coal stockpile. Periodic watering may also be used to control dust.
And how does Coyote Creek's Fugitive Dust Control Plan compare to other mines in North Dakota?
Coyote Creek's plan is very similar to plans approved by the North Dakota Public Service Commission at other coal mines in North Dakota.
And now showing you what is marked as Coyote Creek Exhibit 3. Would you please identify it?
It is Mining Regulation 69-05.2-09-05, titled Permit Application, Operations Plans, Air Pollution Control.
And is this the same regulation cited by Mr. Deutsch a few minutes ago?
Yes, it is.
And it's already been read, so I think we'll skip that. Is this a PSC regulation which gives direction to coal companies as to how to control fugitive dust?
Yes.
And does this PSC regulation direct the coal companies to comply with the air pollution control requirements of the State Department of Health?
Yes.
And does this regulation also direct the coal companies to, quote, specify any other measures necessary to effectively control wind erosion and attendant air pollution?
Yes.
In order to fulfill this portion of the requirement, did Coyote Creek Mining Company include its Fugitive Dust Control Plan in Section 3.1.1.2 of Revision 1?
Yes.
And as a result of Coyote Creek Mining Company having obtained an air permit to construct from the North Dakota Department of Health and having submitted its Fugitive Dust Control Plan to the PSC, do you believe Coyote Creek Mine has complied with this regulation?
Yes.
I'll show you what's marked Exhibit 4. Would you please identify it?
It's Coyote Creek Mining Company's application for an air quality permit to construct a surface lignite coal mine and coal processing facility.
And when was this submitted to the North Dakota Department of Health?
On September 9th, 2014.
And did the North Dakota Department of Health issue a permit to construct, and if so, when?
Yes. It was issued on January 7th, 2015.
And next, I'll show you Exhibit 5. And would you please identify it?
It is North Dakota Air Pollution Control Permit to construct number PTC15001, issued to Coyote Creek Mine.
And what does this permit allow?
It allows for the construction and the initial operation of the mine and coal processing facility.
I will show you what is marked Exhibit 6. Would you please identify it?
This is an aerial photograph of the lands adjacent to Cow Creek Mine, which has data incorporated onto it, which I prepared.
And you want to just, for the record, we would offer Exhibits 1 through 6.
Yeah, Exhibits 1 through 6 will be considered part of the record in this matter.
Thank you. And, Don, what does this photograph depict?
Several things. In the lower left corner is a black dashed line represents the boundary of the approved permit area. The red dashed line is the proposed boundary of the 352 acres added in Revision 1, which includes the haul road and coal processing facility. In yellow is the permit boundary of Dakota Westmoreland's mine. And in light blue are the lands owned or leased by Casey Voich, which are listed in his attorney's letter to the PSC asking for this informal hearing or conference.
And there is a large block of light blue lands within Dakota Westmoreland Mine. Is this the hay land which Mr. Voigt leases?
Yes.
And this block of lands, is it surrounded on two sides by Dakota Westmoreland's active mining operations and is split by its mine haul road, is that correct?
Yes.
Your Honor, that concludes this witness for us.
Okay. Mr. England, do you have any questions for Mr. Steffen?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Steffen, toward the beginning of your testimony in describing methods that Coyote Creek Mine will use to control dust emissions, you used a number of words such as, I think I have this down correctly, but I believe you said periodic watering, quote, aggregate surfacing and dust suppression chemicals, quote, may also be used. I guess to begin, I would ask you what words like periodic and may mean. If you could give some more detail on when those methods of control will be used.
They're very subjective based on need to mitigate dust.
And when would you expect that a need would arise?
When factors that apply to dust, when it's needed. There's many factors involved, way too many to describe.
And as environmental manager of Coyote Creek Mine, could you explain what some of those factors are?
It can be temperature. You know, we have temperatures range from 20 below to 100 above. We can adjust wind from light wind to no wind to moderate wind to heavy wind. We've got sky conditions. We can have sunny days, partly cloudy days, all these factors affect it. Humidity, 0% humidity, 100% humidity, inherent moisture of the ground itself can affect it. Precipitation, we can have snow, light rain, no rain, zero rain. Time frame after a precipitation event can affect it. 1 hour after a precipitation event, are we going to apply water? No. 5 days later, maybe, if it hasn't rained. Surface material can affect it, whether you're using an aggregate course, have a dirt base, scoria, whether it's a graded, well-graded gravel, coarse gravel, or coarse scoria, or fine scoria, dirt, clay, sand, all those factors can affect it. The speed of travel, the vehicles themselves can affect the amount. The type of vehicle can affect it, small or heavy equipment, along with the speed, or the amount of traffic, can affect it. Light traffic, moderate traffic, to heavy traffic, all those factors, many factors affect it, and every one of them is evaluated on a case-by-case basis.
And what is the procedure that Coyote Creek Mine will use to evaluate all of those? I think you probably listed at least 30 different factors. What is the procedure that the mine will use to evaluate each of those on a day-to-day case-by-case basis?
All our employees, every employee isn't trained on our dust suppression methods and what to watch for. Every employee before they enter our mine is trained on that behalf by me or my environmental staff.
And what is the goal, ultimately, of that training that the mine is trying to achieve? What level of dust suppression are you striving for?
Minimize dust.
And I'm sorry.
There is no numeric values. There is none.
Okay.
Attained to our permits or laws.
And Mr. Steffen, looking at the map that you, that the Coyote Creek Mine provided as Coyote Creek Exhibit Number 6, would you agree that the section highlighted in blue, the upper rightmost section of blue, specifically southwest section 4, southwest 4 section 16, I believe, will for some period of time be located in between not one but two haul roads and subject, therefore, to the dust of both of those roads?
Correct. What was the question? Missed it.
My question,
yes.
My question is speaking to the location of the section highlighted in blue, the upper rightmost. I believe it's in the northeast.
Okay. Section 16.
My question is whether that location is in between Dakota Westmoreland's current haul road and the haul road that Coyote Creek Mine has proposed.
Yes, it is between the two.
And so, therefore, that property would be subject to potentially to dust from not one but two haul roads?
It would be, but subjected to likely considerably less under this scenario. Thank
you. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Ms. Fury, anything?
Nothing, Your Honor. Okay.
Mr. Biela, do you have any follow-up questions for Mr. Steffen?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Call your next witness to testify. Thank
you. Your Honor, this is Joel Trinkle. I'll have him. Joel, please state your name and business address.
My name is Joel Trinkle. My primary business address is 4700 West 77th Street in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I also work in our Bismarck office located at 234 West Century Avenue when I'm in North Dakota.
And Joel, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed by Barr Engineering Company, an environmental and engineering consulting services firm. My title is Senior Air Quality Consultant and Vice President.
And what is your education post-high school?
My formal education is a bachelor's degree in chemical engineering at Iowa State University. I received certification as a qualified environmental professional in 2007 by the Institute of Professional Environmental Practice.
And what are your duties at Barr Engineering?
My primary role is to serve industrial clients on projects that relate to air quality regulatory permitting and compliance.
And what is your experience in Clean Air Act permitting?
I have 20 years of Clean Air Act permitting experience from 1995 to present, having worked for a wide variety of industrial facilities in approximately 20 different states. Specific to North Dakota, I have led the air regulatory and permitting work for many of the large and complex industrial projects over the last decade in this state. Some examples of the North Dakota projects that I've led for air permitting are the new Dakota Prairie Refinery in Dickinson, the new Spiritwood Station combined heat and power plant near Jamestown, the urea manufacturing project at Dakota Gasifications plant in Beulah, the new Unit 3 gas-fired combustion turbine at Heskett Station in Mandan, the dry-fining lignite enhancement project at Great River Energy's Coal Creek Station, and the refinery expansion project at Tesoro's Complex in Mandan.
And what is your experience in fugitive dust emission control at other plants and mines?
With respect to fugitive particulate matter emissions, I'm experienced with the air permitting and compliance at facilities throughout the Midwest that produce and manage solid materials such as coal, petroleum coke, and industrial sands. And for the North Dakota lignite mining operations, in addition to the proposed Coyote Creek mine, I have completed air permitting and compliance work at three of the four currently operating lignite mines. These projects are normally related either to the relocation of equipment to new mine areas or to installing equipment that is intended to improve the quality of the coal before it is sold to the customer. And for these projects, I address the air permit that might be needed and to develop the regulatory compliance obligations for the project, including those for fugitive dust.
And could you please briefly explain the process that you worked with Coyote Creek Mine in preparing its application to the North Dakota Department of Health?
Yes, the North Dakota Department of Health maintains a regulatory program for the authorization of sources that generate air pollution. Generally, new air contaminant sources will require a permit to construct, or a PTC, from the department before new emissions equipment may be installed. And an air permit application is first required to be submitted by the permittee. And the application, such as that developed for Coyote Creek Mine, contains multiple elements. First is a project description, including equipment to be installed that may generate regulated air emissions. The application contains process flow or equipment layout diagrams for illustrative purposes, as well as a completed agency form outlining the size and scope of the proposed project. And second is an air regulatory applicability analysis and a description of compliance demonstration methods that will be used for meeting the applicable requirements. And in the case of Coyote Creek Mine, the application describes the specific regulatory coverage of EPA and North Dakota standards of performance in the mines and the coal processing facilities activities. And third, any air emissions calculations from the project are detailed in the application. In the case of Coyote Creek, its coal processing facility design includes modernized technology for air pollution prevention. It prevents the emissions of air pollutions from a stack or a vent. This design is referred to by the EPA as a passive enclosure containment system, or PECS, as the acronym. It is used within the crushing and conveyance systems of the processing facility, and as a result, there are no emissions calculated from the project. And the Department of Health will then review the detailed application, determine if it is complete, and if it is complete, then prepare and issue a permit to construct. As part of the department's work, they may also include other specific obligations to help ensure compliance with the air regulations. And for example, in the case of Coyote Creek, the permit to construct issued in January 2015 contains measures to control fugitive dust in order to comply with the state rules.
And could you explain why the type of permit obtained from the Department of Health is appropriate for the Coyote Creek coal mine, haul road, and coal processing facility?
The North Dakota regulations require new sources that fall within specified source categories to submit an application for an air permit to construct. And this is provided in the North Dakota Administrative Code at Chapter 33-15-14. Coal mining and coal handling and processing are two source categories for which Coyote Creek is subject to the permit application requirements. The application that was prepared for Coyote Creek describes the status of the source as either minor or major based on the regulations that govern the type of source. The Department of Health, as the air permitting authority, then reviews and confirms if the proposed source determination is correct based on those regulations that specify how to account the emissions from the project. The Department of Health reviewed all of the application materials and all other relevant information, determined that it was a minor source, and issued a minor source permit to construct to the Coyote Creek mine.
Okay. I'll show you what is marked Coyote Creek Exhibit 7.
Thank you.
and referencing Kyle Creek Exhibit 7, are these the regulations in NDAC 33-15-14 that you just referred to?
Yes.
And again, Your Honor, we would offer this exhibit.
Yeah, Exhibit CC7 will be considered part of the record.
And could you please explain the fugitive dust control requirements of the air permit?
The fugitive dust control requirements are spelled out in this exhibit, which is the permit to construct, at condition 2C, beginning on page 2.
And Joel, just to confirm, that's exhibit
CC5.
CC5.
Yes.
CC5. Not the one we just handed out, but CC5.
That's correct. Okay. It's previously in the record.
And could you read these requirements, please?
Yes. The permittee shall control fugitive dust as follows. Number one, control fugitive particulates from land clearing, topsoil and overburden removal, and other material handling operations using strategies such as watering, revegetation, delay of topsoil disturbance until necessary, surface compaction and sealing unless natural moisture is sufficient to control emissions. Number two, use fugitive preventative measures such as watering, covering, shielding, or enclosing stockpiles, both active and inactive, as necessary to control emissions unless natural moisture is sufficient to control emissions. Three, fugitive dust preventative measures such as frequent watering, addition of dust palliatives, detouring, paving, closure, speed control, or surface treatment shall be used for on-site haul roads unless natural moisture is sufficient to control emissions. And fourth, construct, protect, or treat all conveyors, transfer points, crushers, screens, and dryers to minimize particulate matter emissions. These requirements are pursuant to North Dakota Administrative Code at Chapter 33-15-17, which establishes reasonable precautions for abating and preventing fugitive particulate emissions for activities such as unpaved roads, open mine activities, and open storage piles.
And I'm going to show you what is marked at Cattle Creek Exhibit 8. And referencing Exhibit 8, are these the regulations in Chapter NDAC 33-15-17 that you just referred to?
Yes.
And we would offer Exhibit 8.
Exhibit number 8 will be considered as well.
And Joel, do you believe the fugitive dust control standards set forth in the air permit and in Cuyahoga Creek Mines Revision 1 comply with federal and state Clean Air Act requirements for the Cuyahoga Creek Mine?
Yes, I do. Chapter 33-15-17 for the restriction of fugitive emissions is a state rule that was approved by the United States Environmental Protection Agency. This rule is applicable to any source of fugitive emissions in the state and is meant to protect the ambient air quality standards and to restrict the emission of visible air contaminants. By explicitly addressing the measures that the facility shall take to abate and prevent fugitive particulate emissions, Kyle Creek Mine shall comply with federal and state air quality requirements.
And does the Environmental Protection Agency New Source Performance Standards, NSPS, apply to this project also?
Yes, the EPA's New Source Performance Standards, or NSPS, in the Code of Federal Regulations at Title 40, Part 60, Subpart Y, apply only to the coal processing facility. Subpart Y is titled Standards of Performance for Coal Preparation and Processing Plants. Subpart Y limits particulate matter emissions and opacity from the crushing and conveying operations at Kyle Creek. And to meet the requirements of Subpart Y, Kyle Creek will install a passive enclosure containment system to prevent particulate emissions from forming. This is an EPA preferred approach to comply with their new source performance standards.
And why aren't the haul road and the on-process coal pile subject to this NSPS standard?
The haul road and any open piles of unprocessed coal are not regulated by NSPS Subpart Y. The EPA's goal for its Subpart Y rulemaking was to control emissions from the processing of coal. They have made it clear in their response to rule comments that coal entering into the first crusher is the beginning of the coal preparation and processing plant, subject to subpart Y. Any activities upstream of the crusher, including unprocessed coal piles and haul roads, are not regulated by subpart Y. Instead, the EPA-approved state rules that govern the control of fugitive dust at Chapter 33.15.17 will apply to those activities. So these requirements are spelled out in the permit to construct, as I previously testified. And this specific regulatory analysis and conclusion is addressed on pages 8 to 10 of the air quality permit to construct application at Exhibit CC4, which was approved by the Department of Health in January of this year.
Okay, we'll show you what is marked as Exhibit 9. And does this document explain what you were just referring to and contain the EPA's response to comments for NSPS subpart Y that you were referring to?
Yes.
And so are all open storage piles regulated by subpart Y?
No, only those open storage piles of processed coal located after the crusher are subject to subpart Y.
So here you're disagreeing with the DRC's letter in that regard.
Correct.
Does Cuyahoga Creek Mine have any open storage piles of processed coal located after the crusher?
No.
And do you believe these standards will be effective to control fugitive dust from the haul road proposed to be constructed by Cuyahoga Creek Mine?
Yes, the standards in the permit to construct shall apply to the haul road, the open storage piles, any other activities that may form fugitive dust. And the standards are effective to control fugitive dust from the project. These regulatory standards went through public comment and were promulgated in order to protect the state and national ambient air quality standards.
And with respect to North Dakota law, Chapter 23-25 of the North Dakota Century Code, is that the law in North Dakota which the Department of Health has the authority to regulate air permissions from industrial sources in North Dakota?
Yes.
And showing you is marked Exhibit Number 10. Is this Chapter 23.25 of the North Dakota Century Code that you just referred to?
Yes.
And under North Dakota law, is the Department of Health the appropriate agency to control fugitive dust?
Yes, the Department of Health's Air Quality Division is the enforcement agency for the ongoing compliance of air emissions regulations, such as those for fugitive dust from industrial sources, including the proposed Coyote Creek project.
I have nothing further for this witness.
Okay.
We would offer exhibits 1 through 10 just to make sure I got them all.
Sure. CC exhibits 1 through 10 will be considered part of the record. Mr. England, do you have any questions for Mr. Trinkle at this time?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Trinkle, did you have any input on the air quality portion of the of Coyote Creek's mining permit application?
Yes, we helped prepare the fugitive dust control plan that was meant to conform with the Department of Health's rules and thereby also conform with any other rules that may apply to the mining permit action.
And just to clarify, that's a Clean Air Act requirement, correct?
The fugitive dust control plan, right, it was built with respect to the Department of Health's and EPA's regulations that apply to the mine.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, the air quality permit, the permit to construct that you were referring to, did that permit go through public comment?
The permit did not go through public comment.
That's because, just to clarify, that's because the permit was a minor source permit?
It was because the permit contained no site-specific enforceable requirements that were beyond the federally enforceable requirements already provided. So, for example, the North Dakota rules at 3315.17, NSPS subpart Y, all have gone through public comment. And therefore, by incorporating those requirements into the permit, there were no additional requirements that needed to go through public comment in order to become federally enforceable.
Okay. And I'll just say for the record at this time that this is, for that reason, this hearing is the first time that any public comment has been able to be provided on the Clean Air Act permit that Mr. Trinkle primarily referenced in his testimony. Mr. Trinkle, are you familiar with the definition of open storage pile in NSPS subpart Y?
Yes.
And I'll just go ahead and read it to you. 40 CFR section 60.251 subpart M defines open storage pile to mean any facility, including storage area, that is not enclosed, that is used to store coal, including the equipment used in the loading, unloading, and conveying operations of the facility. My question to you is, in your testimony, you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like your position is that this new source performance standard only applies to storage piles located after the processing plant.
Correct.
That's correct.
That are part of the processing plant.
Okay.
That's right.
And so if we go back to the definition where it says, quote, any facility that is not enclosed, that is used to store coal, where is the requirement that the storage pile be located after the processing plant located in this definition?
Right. Subpart Y applies to coal preparation and processing plants. So in the rule at the beginning of that subpart, it speaks to the affected facility that governs that subpart, and the affected facility is coal preparation and processing plant. And so within that affected facility, open storage piles are regulated. In EPA's response to rule comments at Exhibit CC9, they clarified when the coal preparation plant begins. To be clear, I can read from Exhibit CC9 if that's okay, on the final page of that exhibit. Thus, EPA interprets coal unloading into the first hopper downstream from any form of transportation to be the beginning of the coal preparation plant. There are no open storage piles designed for this facility that are at or downstream of the first hopper associated with the coal preparation plant at Coyote Creek.
And I just want to make sure I'm reading the same thing as you. Is the bottom of your page marked number 79?
It is.
And is this the large paragraph in the middle?
It is a small paragraph at the top. It's a one-sentence paragraph that I read. Do you see that?
I do.
Top? Okay.
Mr. Trinkle, if we go back one page to the bottom of page 78, could you read the first sentence at the bottom of the page after the word response?
After the word response?
Yes.
Just that one sentence?
Yes, please.
As commenters noted, in 1998, EPA issued an interpretive ruling that states that coal unloading operations, which includes both truck and rail car dumping, are regulated under subpart Y.
And so I'll just point out that the sentence that Mr. Trinkle, or it appears, Mr. Trinkle, that the sentence that you're referring to where you say that EPA interprets coal unloading into the first hopper downstream was a previous rule that is no longer in effect.
No, what I read is subsequent to what you had me read from 1998. This sentence is pursuant to the 2009 amendments that were made and constitutes EPA's current position.
Okay, well, we might just have to agree to disagree on the law here then, but by my reading, it says in the interpretive ruling, EPA, the 1998 interpretive ruling, EPA concluded, and then there's a block quote, and then it goes on to say, thus, EPA interprets coal unloading, and it's still referring to the 1998 rule, but we can move on from that point. Mr. Trinkle, you mentioned the definition of an affected facility under new service performance standards. Are you familiar, or would it surprise you that open storage piles are listed in the definition of an affected facility under NSPS Subpart Y?
No, that's how EPA would normally write them.
Okay. And so for New Service Performance Standard Subpart Y, 40 CFR 60.250, Subpart D refers to open storage piles as a portion of the affected facility. Is that correct? I'll submit to you that it does say that. And then if we go back to the definition of open storage pile, which we were talking about a few minutes ago, I believe you stated in answering my previous question that open storage piles are not part of the affected facility. Is that still your position?
Yes, open storage piles are not part of the coal preparation and processing plant for which Coyote Creek is designing. That was made in the permit to construct application and confirmed by the Department of Health in their permit to construct.
Okay, but is it true that the coal processing facility is separate and distinct from the coal pile, or?
No, all affected facilities such as storage piles, dryers, coal transfer operations are affected if they are within the category of regulation of coal preparation and processing plant. That's why our crushing and conveying operations are subject to Subpart Y.
Okay. And again, we might just have to agree to disagree on our reading of the law, but by my reading, it appears that the open storage pile does apply to Coyote Creek Mine as part of NSPSY, and that it is part of the affected facility under that new source performance standard. Mr. Trinkle, Coyote Creek just provided a number of exhibits, which are essentially a list of North Dakota air quality laws. And I'd like to go back to, I believe it's Coyote Creek Exhibit 8, which reads Chapter 33-15-17, Restriction of Fugitive Emissions. And I'm specifically focusing on, at the bottom of the first page of that exhibit, NDCC 33-15-70-02 provides several requirements for the restriction of fugitive emissions. And my question is to you. I'd like to go. I'll wait till you have that in front of you.
I do.
You do.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. My question is to you. Sections 2, 3, 4, and 5 of that rule, I believe, contain a number of specific air quality rules designed to restrict fugitive emissions. And so let's just go through each of those one by one. So 33-15-17-02, Part 2, reads that no person shall emit or cause to be emitted into the ambient air from any source of fugitive emissions as specified in Section 33-15-17-01, any particulate matter which exceed the ambient air quality standards of Chapter 33-15-02 at or beyond the property line of the source. So my first question to you on this standard has to do with the location of the open storage pile and the coal processing facility. Is that source near the property line of Coyote Creek Mine?
We would have to refer to, I believe, Exhibit 6. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You can take your time. That's fine.
Can you restate the question?
Sure. If we're looking at the map on Exhibit 6, it does have the coal processing facility. In the upper right-hand corner, which I believe is the northeast corner of this map, is the coal processing facility and the open storage pile that will be a part of that coal processing facility at or near the property line of Coyote Creek Mine?
In what relation are you referring to at or near? Is it comparative to Dakota Westmoreland's processing facility?
Sure. Sure.
Then it is not as close in relative terms.
Is it close enough to be connected by a conveyor belt?
A conveyor belt?
A conveyor belt.
The coal processing facility and the power plant?
And if you're not sure, that's fine.
I wanted to make sure I understood the processing facility and the power plant.
Yes.
Yes. It can be and is and would be connected by a conveyor.
Okay. Yeah. And so in your expertise as somebody who looks at Clean Air Act permits regularly, is that property line between Dakota Westmoreland, or no, I'm sorry, not Dakota Westmoreland, Coyote Creek Station, Coyote Station, the power plant, and the coal processing facility, is that a property line that should be considered for the rule that we just read?
In as much as any area off the property line of the source would be considered ambient under EPA regulations.
Okay. And did your firm or are you aware of whether or not your firm or anybody working for Coyote Creek Mining Company undertook an analysis of whether or not that property line should have been considered?
Considered for what?
Considered under the rule that we just read as to whether or not emissions from that coal processing facility and open storage pile could cause an exceedance of the ambient air quality standards over the property line.
Yeah, correct. This was deemed an applicable requirement in our air permit application to the Department of Health.
Okay. And I think we have the air permit application in front of us. If you wouldn't mind... I think you're probably more familiar with it than I am. Could you point me to where that is?
That's the permit, the application. Exhibit CC4 is the application.
Yes.
You're referring to which rule?
I'll go ahead and read it. Century Code 33151702, subpart 2. The question is whether or not Coyote Creek Exhibit 4, which is the Clean Air Act permit application, whether or not it speaks to ambient air quality exceedances off of the property.
Okay. Yeah, I understand your question now. Thank you.
Sure.
It's addressed on page 13 of the application.
And I do see on page 13 of the application recognition that ambient air quality standards exist that could be applicable to this source. Could you, again, because you're more familiar with this than I am, could you point me to the portion of this Clean Air Act permit application that analyzes whether or not there will be an exceedance of ambient air quality standards off of the premises?
Sure. The North Dakota Department of Health has a contains a policy on compliance with such standards. The bottom paragraph of page 13 refers to the Department of Health's memorandum regarding evaluation of new projects for federal and state ambient air quality compliance. And if a facility will emit more than a significant emission rate, then in that memorandum, a dispersion modeling may be required in the permit to construct application. In the case of Coyote Creek, they designed the plant to be completely enclosed with respect to its processing operations, and therefore the emissions increase of PM10, which is particulate matter with an aerodynamic diameter equal to or less than 10 micrometers, is not greater than the significant emission rate. And under that guidance, a modeling analysis is not performed. The Department of Health then, in evaluation of our application, all other relevant information, issued the permit to construct.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. And it sounds like you were just discussing the enclosed coal processing plant in regards to this rule. What about the haul road near the permit or near the property boundary and the open storage pile near the property boundary?
This Department of Health's memorandum focuses on or classifies emissions in two ways: fugitive, which is defined generally as an emission that cannot reasonably pass through a chimney, vent, or stack, and non-fugitive. And so for fugitive emissions, the Department of Health applied work practice standards in the form of fugitive dust controls that were explicitly written in the permit to construct. And then for any stack or vent emissions that exceeded the significant emission rate, dispersion modeling would need to be performed. The facility does not have non-fugitive emissions greater than the potential to emit of the PM10 significant emission rate.
Mr. Trinkle, did Coyote Creek Mine undertake any analysis to determine whether or not ambient air quality standards would be exceeded off of the property from construction of this source?
Yes, we follow the Department of Health's memorandum and analysis, technical analysis, to comply with their regulations.
And I'm sorry to keep harping on this one point, but could you explain in a little bit more detail what your firm did or what the company did specifically to comply with that memorandum?
Yep. We first needed to evaluate the non-fugitive emissions from the source in comparison to the department's technical guidance for ambient air quality evaluations. And in doing so, the Coyote Creek designed the facility to not have any such mechanical vent emissions. Conventionally, processing plants could have bag houses or other point source emissions, and in this case they decided not to have any of those emissions, so we followed the memorandum that way.
I'll just pause you for a second.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to just file an objection or pose an objection to this line of questioning. You had mentioned previously, Mr. England, that you didn't have an opportunity to voice these concerns with the health department through their process. And so now these are being raised before the PSC, and these issues are just outside the scope of our jurisdiction. And so now state resources, specifically commission resources, are being used to address issues that we don't have jurisdiction over. And so we object to this line of questioning.
Your Honor, we would concur with that objection. The issues, I was going to say this in my closing comments, but the issues being raised today by the DRC and Mr. Voigt are totally outside the jurisdiction of the Public Service Commission. They did have the opportunity to participate there, and I believe if Mr. England is willing to acknowledge it, he did obtain a copy of the pending permit from the North Dakota Department of Health while it was still pending. Isn't that correct?
No, that is incorrect. Or Mr. Biel, are you referring to the, just to make sure I'm understanding correctly, are you referring to the Clean Air Act permit application?
Referring to your request to the State Department of Health on February 2nd. While the 30-day time frame for the permit to go into effect would still have been pending, where you requested copies of all permit materials from the Department of Health with respect to Kyle Creek Mine. Do you acknowledge doing that?
I acknowledge that we submitted open records requests to obtain air quality permit information from the Department of Health. I don't have the date in front of me off the top of my head. I do recall that the date that we obtained those materials was after any period, was after the permit had been finalized, and was well after, even if there had been a permit, a period to comment, that period had closed.
I believe he's incorrect in the statement that the comment period had closed. I guess in this regard, we would like to offer another exhibit, being the email from Mr. England to the Department of Health requesting the permit materials. And again, we would go along, we would second the objection raised by the Public Service Commission. All these air quality questions are outside the scope of the PSC's jurisdiction. And we would offer exhibit number 11. I just have one copy.
Let's go make copies of that first, okay. So we can get that in the record.
Would it make sense to take a short break at this time?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's, 5 minutes. Is that sufficient?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Let's do 5 minutes.
I don't think anybody's shutting that off.